T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But we're here to talk about something that is not directly county government related, but certainly has an impact on many people in our community, but truthfully not all the people in our community, and that is the Erie County Water Authority. I do need to note for the record, the Erie County Water Authority is not a department. It is not a division of Erie County government. Though it says Erie County in it, it is actually not part of Erie County government. The Erie County Water Authority is a separate state authority that was created in 1950. It was created at the height of the time in which authorities were just sort of exploding across New York State. If you have not read The Power Broker by Robert Caro on Robert Moses, you need to find the backstory associated with authorities. Now, it's going to take some time to read it because The Power Broker is a 1,300-page book. It's very big. He's sitting there laughing in the back. It is. But if you read about it, you will find out why authorities were created at this time in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And I also would recommend Richard Norton Smith's recent biography on Governor Nelson Rockefeller, which once again is about a 1,200-page book. But it goes into the history of why authorities were created in New York State at the time. And basically, they were created to provide a service that government should be providing, but to get them off the books of government so the debt and elected officials would not have to vote on particular projects that were related to the Water Authority. So when it pertains to the Erie County Water Authority, it was discussed and sort of approved in the Erie County Board of Supervisors. Did you know that Erie County once had a Board of Supervisors? In 1949, it was legally created by the New York State Legislature through the passage of the New York Public Authorities Law 1050 in 1950. Now, I do think it needs to be noted, for those of you who don't understand, because they always say the Water Authority is political. It has been a political beast since its creation. In 1950, the Erie County Board of Supervisors, and basically every year prior to the Whigs having control before the Civil War, was controlled by Republicans. The New York State Senate, the New York State Assembly were controlled by Republicans, including the very powerful Senate Finance Committee Chair, Walter Mahoney, who came from Buffalo. And the governor's office was under Governor Thomas E. Dewey. This is not a criticism about Republicans, but the way the Water Authority was set up in 1950 was in such a manner that there was one-party control of the supervisors, the Erie County Board of Supervisors, as well as by the Senate and the Assembly and the governor. Now, I actually went back and pulled out the Supervisors Proceedings book from Erie County's law department. And if you like your government run by a lot of white men, that's exactly what it was like back then, just as a note, because I think every member of the Erie County Board of Supervisors was a white male then. But we went through and actually found some of the approval language from the Erie County Board of Supervisors to create the Erie County Water Authority, because they knew that water needed to be delivered in a better manner than it was, but they didn't want to put the debt on the books associated with Erie County. So back in 1950, all these parties came together, and they created the Erie County Water Authority. And they put in provisions in the enabling statute that made it a very political entity, such as the statute provides, and people wonder, why are there only 3 members of the board? Well, the statute that creates Erie County Water Authority states that it should consist of 3 members, all of whom should be residents of the county. Not more than 2 members of said authority in office at any time should belong to the same political party. That was, in effect, to ensure that there would always be majority control of the Water Authority. How is there majority control of the Water Authority? Because the appointments were made by the chairman of the Erie County Board of Supervisors and ratified by the board itself. When the Board of Supervisors disappeared, it became the Erie County Legislature. That didn't happen until the 60s. But it's interesting that it was created at a time in 1950 when there was one-party rule in New York State, one-party rule in Erie County Legislature. And I say that because it was always assumed that this would be a political beast, controlled by whatever party controlled the legislature, which if you look back in the history, and these go back a long time individually each year, it was Republican rule. It's not a critique of the Republican Party, but it was created as a political beast at that time. Now, three-member board. There's only one other water authority of the 21 that exists in New York State that have a three-member board, the Niagara Falls Public Water Authority. And we have a listing here on the next two pages of the slides of all the water authorities that exist in New York State. This information is courtesy of the New York State Authority's Budget Office, in which you will find that there are only two water authorities out of 21 that have a three-member board, the Erie County Water Authority and the Niagara Falls Public Water Authority. Most of the boards, the average is seven. Some as large as nine, a few eight, which I find interesting because you would have a tie often on votes depending on the makeup of the board. You try to avoid, as here's my old corporate lawyer hat, you try to avoid having a board that has an even number because you might never be able to get anything accomplished if there's an equal amount of people who agree or disagree on a subject matter. But there's only one other authority in New York State that has a board. That's three members, and that's the Niagara Falls Public Water Authority. There's Erie County and Niagara Falls in bold. Every other one is five. The average is seven. Some have up to nine. So then why is the appointment so political? Well, in the statute itself, it said that the authority shall consist of the three members, all of whom shall be residents of the county. Not more than two members of said authority in office at any time shall be the same political party. Well, we looked at all the other water authorities to see if any other water authority had this political makeup. And there is one. It was the Monroe County Water Authority, which just happened to have been created in 1950. Dave McKinley's interested because he lives in Monroe County. I don't know what was in the water in 1950, but it was for the creation of political water authority boards. Because the only two boards in New York State that have a political component to the appointment of their board, stating that they must be a particular political party, are the Erie County Water Authority and the Monroe County Water Authority, which were both created in 1950. Interesting fact. So here we are, 2018, all these many years later, but we're still dealing with the problems associated with having a politically controlled board for the Water Authority. So the Water Authority appointments are made in such a manner. The nominations are in writing by the majority, respectively, of the supervisors, that's what the statute says, because there was no legislature, of each political party. So the majority of each political party makes recommendations, saying here's our nominations to the chairman, and then the chairman says, here's my appointment. Appointment then goes to the full board for a vote. So, since its legal creation, the Erie County Water Authority has been a political construct. It was created during an era of one-party rule at the state and local level, and members are mandated by law to be recommended appointed pursuant to political parties. I think it's very important to note that, because people are like, why is it so political? Folks, it has always been so political. Probably more so than even now, but nobody was paying attention. If you look back and hear about the history of the Water Authority, including those who've been around for a long time, they will tell you, if you think it's bad now, you should have seen what it was like in the 60s and 70s. But that was then, this is now. So do other locally appointed boards have political requirements? And the answer is no, except for one, the Erie County Board of Ethics. And you're probably wondering, why would the Erie County Board of Ethics have a political requirement on it? It's to prevent one-party rule of the Erie County Board of Ethics. So the guarantees that one party cannot control the vote at the Erie County Board of Ethics. And that's important because you wouldn't want political considerations to be effect at the Erie County Board of Ethics and then people questioning whether the ethics board is acting in a truly ethical or political manner. So there's only one board in Erie County that that we were able to identify that has a political component with regards to its appointments, but it actually is the reverse of the Water Authority. The reverse says we're going to have political appointees that control the board. Here we're saying no political party is going to control the board when it comes to the Board of Ethics. The rest of the appointees, especially as they pertain to Erie County, the Buffalo and Erie County Public Library, SUNY Erie, Erie County Medical Center Corporation, the ECIDA, the NFTA, and all the smaller advisory boards we have, they all have a information regarding who can be appointed. It's just generally the terms that are identified age, can't be below certain age 18, but none of them have a political construct. None of them require a political constitution of the board. And I think that's very important because we've been talking about issues associated with the Water Authority for all these years. You don't hear from ECMC or the library or SUNY Erie that, oh, these organizations are politically controlled, because they have larger boards that have longer terms than the current Erie County Water Authority does. And the politics is taken away by having these larger boards with longer terms and appointments that are cross-identified between the county executive, the legislature, and for that matter, the governor. So I believe that the Erie County Water Authority has been critically stated against as being a political organization because it is a political organization. It reminds me of the line in some of the movies where they point out and say, oh, I can't believe this is going on here, and everybody knows it's going on here. So the issue is, what do we do if you want to eliminate the politics and make it a much more transparent organization? Well, you got to make changes to the organization. I think we all realize that. And one of the recommendations has been dissolution. Can the authority be dissolved? There's no question the authority can be dissolved. It's in the statute that created the Erie County Water Authority, and it talks about from a period of 12 years from 1949 and thereafter until, one, all its liabilities have been met, and two, its bonds have been paid in full. So you have to meet every one of the liabilities, and two, you have to pay off all the bonds. And there, when that happens, the assets transfer automatically to the county. So it can be dissolved. That doesn't answer the next question. Should it be dissolved, or is there a better way to handle it? And that's what we're talking about, is we looked at internally in our office by having multiple conversations with the authority's budget office, by having conversations with legal counsel, by having conversations with those in the financial industry. Just because it can be dissolved, does it make sense to dissolve it? And what are the ramifications if you do dissolve it on the County of Erie? I think that's very important. If we take it over, are there financial obligations that will then incur to the County of Erie? And the answer is, of course, yes, there are, and we're going to go through those. So here's something we haven't talked about. People think the Erie County Water Authority represents all of Erie County. It doesn't. In the statute, the City of Buffalo, the Town of Tonawanda, and the Village of Kenmore are specifically excluded from the territory of the Erie County Water Authority. And there are many sections of Erie County where the Water Authority does not provide any service. So what would we have to do if we dissolve the Water Authority? We'd have to create a brand new water district, separate entity, under the control of the county, which limits all costs associated with the dissolution and takeover of the Water Authority with the people and the customers who reside in the district, or those who buy their water from the Water Authority but reside outside the district. Why do I say that? Well, according to reports in Bloomberg, as well as what we've been able to gather from the Consolidated Annual Financial Report issued by the Erie County Water Authority for 2017, there currently is $42,968,384 in debt that the Erie County Water Authority owes on bonds. Does not include other liabilities it may have because we don't know what those are. But we do know it owes about a little less than $43 million in debt associated with its infrastructure and the money that it's borrowed to pay for capital projects. So, $43 million in debt. County takes it over, all the county taxpayers pay for it, correct? No. I think it's important to realize you have to set up a separate water district, and only the people who are on this map and the colored areas would be obligated to pay anything. And in some of the colored areas, you still might not be obligated to pay, but the Water Authority has lease and purchasing agreements with generally commercial entities that reside in those areas. So if you're in the white area, City of Buffalo, Town of Tonawanda, Kenmore, Grand Island, the southern part of the county, Sardinia, Concord, Wales, Holland. You see, these areas are not touched by the Water Authority. Technically, they're part of the Water Authority's authority, but those people are not paying anything to the Water Authority because they don't receive any service. So you'd have to create a brand new water district to pay down the debt that would only be applicable to the people who are and customers that are currently serviced by the Water Authority. That would be a very, very difficult thing to do. Not impossible, but a difficult thing to do. The joke among some of the members of the legal community, and I am a lawyer myself, I don't practice full time anymore, but I know a lot of lawyers, is they hope the authority is dissolved because lawyers and accountants are going to make a lot of money on the dissolution of the water authority and the closeout of the bonds and the issuance of new bonds. I guarantee you, you'd have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars alone on legal fees to deal with the dissolution of the water authority. I know how much attorneys cost. We're not talking about being able to do this for $2,000. We're talking about doing it for a lot more. So here's something else that we've been able to glean as a result of the conversations we've had with the authority's budget office, including their executive director, Jeffrey Perlman. Based on conversations we've had, the authority's budget office says some and perhaps all of the currently outstanding Erie County Water Authority debt can only be prepaid upon the payment of a 10% premium or a penalty. We know what it's like if you have a loan that says you can prepay it without charge, or there's a prepayment penalty. There would be a prepayment penalty on some of the bonds associated with the water authority. Let's say it's $25 million of the $43 million of the bonds. That's still $2.5 million that would need to be added into what the bondholders are going to get paid in the long run, which means the ratepayers, not the entire county, but the ratepayers would actually have to pay more for the work that has already been borrowed against. And taking a look at the rates that the water authorities incurred, they're going to be paying off $5 million in debt by the end of this year, so it certainly would make no sense to pay off or redo those refinance those loans. And they also had, as it's noted here, in 2016, they just issued some debt. And I can tell you the rates were lower in 2016 than they are today, so I guarantee you if you went to market, we would not get as good a rate as probably what the authority got back then, and we'd have to pay a premium. So for those who say it's easy, it's not going to cost anything, it can be dissolved, let's do it. Putting on my attorney hat, putting on my former county comptroller hat, it's not going to be easy. It can be done, but it's going to be more expensive to pay off the debt associated with the water authority. So I think that's important to note. So anybody who's going out there and saying, we need to dissolve, let's do it, we should have done it yesterday. And unfortunately, they're saying it without having the facts. There's a reason why I didn't jump to conclusions and come out publicly like a lot of other people did and said, you need to do this. Because I asked my staff, let's take a look at this. Let's contact the authority's budget office. Let's talk to experts in the field and say, what would this cost? Not just, let's do it. What are the legal ramifications? And oh, by the way, there's more hoops to jump through just to close out those bonds and issue new ones for the county. There's other ones. You have a termination or renegotiation of labor contracts. Every one of the labor contracts that exists at the Water Authority would be terminated because it no longer exists. I'm fairly confident the state would require us to assume the remainder of those contracts because this is state law if you're going to dissolve it. And it's possible that the cost associated with those contracts, and it's my understanding, is a little bit better than some of the costs associated with Erie County government. We don't know what the long-term costs are associated with retiree benefits like health care and pension. And based on what I know in government, as they call them, OPEB benefits, other post-employment benefits, they are going to run in the millions. They could run and probably run in the tens of millions, and they may run into the hundreds of millions because Erie County's own other post-employment benefit number is somewhere around $700 million right now is our long-term cost associated with just retiree health care. So there's all kinds of issues. There's civil service issues regarding job titles and seniority and other less significant but truthfully important issues. So if you jump into the conclusion that we need to dissolve, we need to do it immediately, I understand why there's a thought of dissolution, but let's have the facts before we say dissolution is the right thing. Because if it cost us millions more, I'm not certain that it's the best thing when we can do it a better way. So we looked at it internally. We said, is dissolution appropriate? I think it's something that needs to be examined, and that's why we looked at it, but I don't necessarily think it's the best way. Now, the Water Authority is, truthfully, the political football game that never ends. You all heard of the term political football, but nobody knows where it comes from. This is where it comes from, a political cartoon issued in Judge Magazine in 1889, where in the corner there, that's President Benjamin Harrison talking to Uncle Sam. And he says, "What can I do when both parties insist on kicking?" That's what the Water Authority is. It's a political football in which both parties are constantly fighting for it with control of the Erie County Legislature. It was created at a time of one-party rule in New York State. And since then, we haven't had one-party rule. But we've had a lot of back and forth between the Democrats and Republicans and Democrats. And one of the unwritten things when it comes to taking over the legislature is you take over the legislature, you got control of the Water Authority. You know what? It's time to take the football away from them. And when I mean them, I mean the political parties. It's time to take it away and to restore some faith and trust in the Water Authority by the general public. And we believe that there could be a better option with regards to that than just dissolution. Because if the goal is to eliminate the political influence and ensure that the Erie County Water Authority is a transparent and open organization, other options exist than dissolution, including modification of the authority's enabling statute to meet the expectations of government in 2018. If you dissolve, you still got to pass something through the Assembly and Senate and the governor, and you have all those other ramifications associated with it. But you can amend the statute that created the Water Authority and get what you want accomplished without having to go through the cost and all the problems associated with dissolution. So amend the authority's enabling statute is what I am recommending. To eliminate the political control and continual change of leadership, one must increase the size of the board so that two people, both from the same political party, do not control the authority. Additionally, we can implement through enabling legislation changes that will make sure the Water Authority is held accountable and transparent to the public. And these, as I said, can be done without dissolving the Water Authority, but just passing some legal changes with the authority's enabling statute in Albany. It's a lot easier, and it certainly will be less expensive. Number one, increase the size of the Erie County Water Authority's board to 7 members, with appointments made as follows: 2 by the governor, 2 by the county executive, and 3 by the county legislature, because the county legislature and the county executive both make independent appointments. The county executive should not be subject to legislative confirmation, and the legislature should not be subject to the county executive's veto. They're independent. Now, what basically to do would be of the three the appointees from the legislature, roll over the current members. There's 2 only. There eventually will be a 3rd. Why? Because you need to have institutional knowledge when you change over from a 3-person to a 7-person board. But what you do is you just roll those 3 people over, and the best way to do it is just continue the language that exists, no more than 2 members from one political party, and then have no requirement as to the political makeup when those initial terms expire. You have to have a staggered system for it to work properly. So what we do is increase the term of office for all members to 5 years, not from 3 to 5, and then following passage of the new law, stagger the initial appointments so that the legislative appointment terms are up for 1 year, 3 and 5, so there's limited initial terms. And the county executive and gubernatorial has one appointment that only has a 2-year term, and then a 2nd that has a 2-year term. And upon expiration of those terms, they all then have permanent 5-year appointments. We talked to the Authority Budget Office about this. They wholeheartedly agree that we should increase the board from 3. And we said 7, and they said 7's a good number. It's the average of water authorities across New York State. And my initial inclination was to create 7 members with 7-year terms. But the authority's budget office said they thought that was too long. And they said 5 is okay with them. So we decided to lower the number of years of the term to 5 because the authority's budget office thought it was appropriate. I didn't do this on my own. My staff didn't do this on our own. We actually talked to the people who issued the report about the Water Authority and who review authorities all day long to come up with these recommendations. And I think that's very important to note. Authority's Budget Office does support these. Authority Budget Office also supports my 3rd proposal to require the authority to submit not just an annual report, but a quarterly report, which is not just of the financial reports, but also reports of all operational activities, including the hiring and termination of employees and the contracts that are entered into with third parties for any goods or services. And to also include the county executive as a recipient of those reports, because right now, by law, the only two parties that receive it are the comptroller and the legislature, because the legislature is the successor to the Board of Supervisors. There was a county comptroller back in 1950. It was an appointed office, appointed by the legislature. It's now an elected office. So the comptroller gets a report, the legislature does, but the executive doesn't. What we suggest, and the Authority Budget Office also agrees is appropriate, is requiring quarterly reports that are much more extensive, talking about hiring and firing of employees, those who quit on their own, as well as issues associated with all the contracts that are entered into, so everybody knows what it is. It's transparent. It's open. Fourth one, which they also agree with, is that the enabling law should be amended to compel it, the authority, annually provide to the legislature, county executive, and comptroller a six-year capital plan to address issues of infrastructure, including whether they intend to go out and borrow money. I think it's important. We are required to have a six-year capital plan in Erie County. It's important that they do as well, and they report to the public entities and public officials on what their plans are for investment in the future. The fifth one. Four members of the board shall constitute a quorum for a meeting, and four members must vote in favor of an action. You move up to seven members, you need four members for a quorum. But what happens if four members show? If the vote is just passed by majority of the members present, that means three people could control all votes. Let's say the chairman decides, I'm going to have a special meeting. I'm going to call it next week. Why? Because I know these other three members are out of town. They can't attend it. But I want to get some things through. And I've got two people who are going to support me. I only need three votes. If you amend the statute to require a quorum of four, and you have to pass things with a majority of the total members that are possible, it eliminates the political nature. I'll give you an example of where we have a similar provision of like that, the Erie County Industrial Development Agency. There are 18 members on the board of the Erie County Industrial Development Agency. But to pass any item at the board, you need to have 10 votes. Not a majority of those present, a majority of the constituted board. That way, you're always guaranteeing that things aren't being shoved through quietly, that things aren't being done for a political purpose, because you're getting a majority of the board, not just those that happen to be present at a meeting. I practice corporate law. I would require a provision similar to this with all my corporate clients just to ensure that two or three people on a small board couldn't push everything they wanted through and shut other people out. It's important. The fifth one, and this also the authority's budget office supports, the enabling law should be amended to compel the authority's executive director and chairperson to hold a public meeting at the chamber of the Erie County Legislature to hear the concerns of the public and take questions from the public on a quarterly basis, and that two of those four meetings must be held between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m. so that individuals who work during the day can attend the meetings rather than have it where they often have meetings at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. Why? We want the public to have the opportunity to question the members of the board to say, how's water being delivered? Are there issues? And I'm sure the media would appreciate that opportunity as well. Fifth, prohibit the authority from entering into any, seventh. I need my glasses, folks. I'm sorry. Seventh. Thanks, David. Prohibit the authority from entering into any employment contract for a period greater than 5 years. And prohibit any employment contract from having golden parachutes. My initial idea was to have a limitation on contracts for no greater than 3 years. But the ABO said they thought that was too small, because there are certain positions, like professional engineers and the like, where they generally have 4 or 5 year contracts. So we made a change. We decided, okay, let's move up to 5 years, because the ABO said that's a recommended practice. And because of the issue associated with the recent golden parachute that was issued to the former executive director, which is not the first time that executive directors have received golden parachutes, I propose that it be put particular language that specifies that you can't have these golden parachutes. You can have employment contracts, but no golden parachutes. It's as simple as that. So I think it's important that people understand that we are not going to allow some of the same things that happened in the past that have caused all these questions about it's just this nasty political beast that can't be controlled. We can control it by changing the law associated with the Water Authority. Eighth, right now the Water Authority members and other officers there object to filing a report with the Erie County Board of Ethics that we believe they qualify. Erie County Industrial Development Agency folks do. Erie County Medical Center does. So do the folks at SUNY Erie and the library board. But the folks at the Water Authority are like, no, even though they're appointed by Erie County representatives. So there's one way to make certain they, the members, as well as their officers, file their ethics statement. Put language in the law that creates the Water Authority and sustains its existence saying you have to file the reports and you have to follow and be subject to any of the findings or fines that are issued by the Erie County Board of Ethics against any of your members as well as your officers. Currently, the authority objects to do it, and they don't file reports. If this legislation is passed, they will. And then finally, and this has been a bone of contention, reduce the stipend paid to commissioners from the current $22,500 to $7,500. Other water authorities in New York State pay stipends or salaries to their commissioners, but no water authority pays all their commissioners $22,500. Most are smaller, $5,000, $7,000. I think something should be said when someone takes these responsibilities on, especially if you've extended the term to 5 years, to say we appreciate your service to the community, because these positions take a lot of time and effort. And if you want people to really feel that they're invested in this organization as well as the community and put the time and effort that's necessary to do these jobs, I think it's important that you at least offer a small stipend. $7,500 is not a lot of money, but I will say this. It's less with seven members than what's currently paid for by the Water Authority to its three members. So we'd actually save some money on this. These are my proposed reforms. I believe they are and will solve the problems that exist at the Water Authority. I think they're definitely needed. We all know that. Just saying let's dissolve and take it over a county sounds great, but when you look at it, it maybe isn't so great, and it will cost the ratepayers more in the long run because you have to prepay the bonds. You have to pay off all of the liabilities, including the ones that may not have any obligation for 2 or 3 years. So just because you say dissolution doesn't mean it is the best option. It can be considered, and I think we truly would need to do much more information if you're ever going to go down that road to figure out what the true cost is, but we know there will be a significant cost no matter what. And then finally, I want to note, I have known Jerry Shadd for a long time, including the time when I was not in government, and Jerry was not as a Water Authority chair or commissioner, back to when we were practicing law. I've known Jerry for a long time, Jerome Shadd, Hodgson Russ, one of the highest, best firms in this area. And Jerry was always known, and I've always known him to be, an ethical, honorable individual who would never do anything to put his law license at risk. He is the only member of the Water Authority, to my knowledge, until Mark Carney was appointed during this last term, that had a law license. And as an attorney, I know if you do something that breaks the law, you put your law license at risk. And I know Jerry Shadd would not do anything that would put his law license at risk because he is a good, honorable, ethical man. He was appointed for a term. He is making reforms right now that I can tell you, because Jeff Perlman and Mike Farrar from the Authority's Budget Office were on a phone conference that I were on, that they like these reforms. They think they're appropriate. They do agree more needs to be done, but they do think Jerry's doing the right things. And what was interesting is during this phone conversation, one of them said they should have done these things years ago and then we wouldn't have criticized them. Well, they didn't. They deserve the criticism. But Jerry Shadd is implementing what I think are some good reforms. Other good ones that I'm proposing today will ensure that the Water Authority is not a political beast. And as a result, I hope that the legislature will support this. This can only pass in Albany if the legislature supports it. Because to pass the law, you have to have what's called a home rule message. A home rule message means the local legislature and the county executive sign off on a document to the Assembly and Senate and governor saying, we want this passed. If you don't have a home rule message, the Assembly and the Senate won't pass the legislation. So I have already talked to some legislators, not all, and it is my intention over the next few weeks to be spending more time with legislators to get their buy-in on this proposal. And once we have it, to then go to the Assembly and Senate, get sponsors, and have these reforms passed when the Assembly and Senate meets again next year. So we have some time to do this because the Assembly and Senate don't meet until January now. They're done. So now we can spend the next few months getting legislative confirmation and approval that these are the right steps to take, and then taking it to the Assembly and Senate, having them introduce it. We have already talked to the governor's office. They are aware of the proposals. And I feel very confident that if this is passed, you will get rid of the political nature of the Water Authority, you will make it much more accountable to the public, and you will ensure going forward that the Water Authority that provides a true important public service to our greater community is not known as a political beast, but just a utility. With that, I'd entertain any questions. Mr. McKinley. I cannot compel because it's a state authority and state law needs to change.
So the county legislature would have to say we'd like to amend the
enabling law.
Enabling law.
Yes.
And then some local friendly state legislator would have to take it to Albany as a home rule message and say they want to change the enabling.
Correct.
And then these reforms could be made?
Correct. It's the same thing with dissolution. Albany will not do it on its own unless... Well, you have to change the law, otherwise nothing's changed. Because it says it's a three-person board, and it's based off of the political affiliation of the legislature at that point. That will never change unless you change the law.
Would the changes have to be included in the home rule message?
Yes.
What I'm saying? Or
yes.
Would they just say, change it however?
No, no. We just went through that in Erie County, the Erie County Tax Act, where we had actually the Assembly and Senate, we had his co-sponsorship in bipartisan manner, Sean Ryan in the Assembly, Patrick Galvin in the Senate to change the Erie County Tax Act. It was a bipartisan bill that had full support from various organizations, Democratic and Republican. The legislature was asked to approve it, and they just sat on it. It's sitting in committee. So Assemblymember Ryan and Senator Galvin could not move it on the floor because they didn't have the home rule message. That's how Albany works. They say, we're not going to do something that is locally based unless the local government supports it. So you have to have the home rule message. Charlie.
So you want to make this less political, but yet you're adding four political appointments. Isn't that sort of counterintuitive?
Well, you might think so, but if you think about the other boards that have larger boards, the Library Board, the Erie County Medical Center Corporation Board, SUNY Erie and ECMC are very similar. They have much larger boards that are appointed by the governor and the county executive. The Library Board has boards that are appointed by the county executive with the mayor as well as the legislature. People are not talking about those organizations as being political beasts and highly political. They don't. Because you have an independent board that has longer terms and one body doesn't appoint it. When one body appoints it and it's three members, two of which control the place, and it says, you basically says, no more than two can be from the same political party. Well, what happens when the new political party takes over? They put two people that are affiliated with them on. So what this does is it will create, truthfully, a much more non-political organization because the terms are spread out over the longer terms of the county executive and the governor and the legislature. Legislature has to run for election every 2 years. County executive and governor have to run for election every 4 years. The terms are longer than the election terms for every one of those elected officials. So if I appoint someone to the board, they can ignore me totally if they got a 5-year term, 7-year term. Truthfully, it happens. I had people, I want to be on this board. I want to be on this board. I want to be on this board. Okay, you do a good job. You're on this board. I appoint them. I've never heard from them again because they just ignore the county executive. Hey, I'm on the board now. I don't care about what the county executive matters. That's how it goes. So you create longer terms and more members, and you create a less political board. Nobody talks about the library board as being political. Simple as that. And I think that's nobody talks about SUNY Erie as being political. That's what we're looking for. So, Alex.
As far as your support for Mr. Schatt, the ABO has come out and said they wanted clear house. They wanted him gone. Looking back at some of the recommendations that they made on there, as far as some of the errors that were made, they mentioned like the Phillips Lido contract, the emergency agreement. That was a unanimous decision. For instance, talking about the deputy commissioner, Mr. Lichtenthal, when they made a new agreement. 36% raise, that it was where there was no kind of review on that. That was another example of a unanimous decision. Kind of with their recommendation, after seeing that recommendation, kind of seeing some of these past voting records, what is it about him other than just kind of your past knowing him to make you think he's the right guy? I understand he's making some changes now, mm-hmm. but with some of those past things, what makes you confident in him moving forward?
Well, I can't speak on every particular matter because, first off, I wasn't in the room. I don't know the particulars of it. I know the Water Authority can be a pretty tough place in which the majority is like, we're passing it whether you like it or not, and if you don't like it, maybe this person no longer has a job here. It's kind of how it's been in the past. It's been bad. I don't know exactly what happened. So what I would say is I believe they're doing the right things now. If you did remove Mr. Schatt, you are down to one member of the board, which is a problem, because if an emergency occurred, you don't have a quorum, which the statute says a quorum is two. You don't have a quorum at which to actually effectuate and make decisions above and beyond what has already been given, and they don't have an executive director right now. They have an interim executive director, and there's certain requirements under the statute that only the board can do, not the executive director or the interim executive director. So I think it was fair what was said yesterday, which was bring Mr. Schatt over to the legislature and have him answer the questions, which if you terminate him, he's entitled to a hearing anyway. And I guarantee you, if he's going to be terminated, he's going to have a hearing and he's going to bring his evidence to show why these decisions were made, regardless of whether he was on it or not.
Thanks a lot. Over the last
I'm going to go over here to Chris. Well, we didn't agree on everything. You want to know a provision that the ABO thought that I should not include? They don't think that we should put a prohibition on golden parachutes. I think we all would agree after everything that's gone on, we should have a prohibition on golden parachutes. So I disagreed with their recommendation on that. They disagree with me with regards to that. That's just how it goes. They came in, they did the review. I took them for their word. We had lots of conversations with them. And I think it's important that they acted so now that we can act and ensure that this doesn't happen again.
So Jerry Schatt over the last 10 years has given you money for your campaigns 26 times, more than $5,000, and you're up here praising him. Isn't that part of the problem, the political back-scratching? And
Jerry is just like others in the process who've made donations to me or made no donations to the Republicans. If you look at the Republican commissioners, they all gave donations to elected officials too. What I'm trying to do is propose a set of reforms that create a better system. If the implication is that Jerry Schad's got something on me and I'm worried about his money, I've raised over $1 million. If he has given me that much, and I don't know truthfully, because a lot of that times donations come in and I don't even know what's coming in, over since I was elected in 2011. It's not a whole lot of money when I've raised easily over $1 million during a similar time period. So I would just say this. I know Jerry Schatt to be a good, ethical, honorable man. And I don't think he would do anything breaking the law that would put his law license at risk. He's trying to implement some reforms right now. I think it's appropriate for him to go before the legislature and answer their questions. It's as simple as that. Why were things done? Why did you vote this way? To castigate him without giving him the opportunity to do that, I think, is wrong. I think all of us, if we were in a position at our employment and her employer came up and said, I'm terminating you. Why? Because I don't like what you've done. Well, you never told me you did anything wrong. And oh, by the way, you appointed me for this position and I'm supposedly here for a number of years. I think we'd all say, I object to that. We'd all want to respond. We'd all want to be given an opportunity to present our case. And I think that's appropriate for Mr. Shad to come out before the legislature and answer their questions and say, here's what I did. And then if they do decide to terminate him, he's got an opportunity then for a full hearing, which I believe would have to follow New York civil procedure law and would basically be a trial, which I'm not certain the legislature wants, because he could introduce his own evidence, which, based on conversations I've had with some legislators, I don't think they want to see, because they don't want to know what Mr. Smith and Mr. Anderson and before that Mr. Jan were doing. They don't want to know it. They want to cast aspersions, which is easy to do. It's like, it's easy to say, let's dissolve, but they don't even know the implications of dissolution. So let's get to the bottom of it. We've got time. I mean, even if you wanted to dissolve or change the law, nothing's going to happen until the legislature in Albany comes back in 2019. So let's take our time and let's figure out the way to do it best and get to the root problems and figure out where the problems did lay. And at that point, then we can move forward.
Well, don't you pay Jerry Shad? Did you pay him $1,000 for consulting?
No.
You can't pay finance?
Not that I'm aware of.
Nothing there?
Not that I'm aware of. Friends of Mark Poloncarz?
He's not a consultant.
The only consultant I hire is a pollster out of Washington, D.C. And in 2015 and 2011, we have a consultant out of New York City, SKD Knickerbocker. But Jerry Shad is not a consultant. I don't believe he's ever been paid anything.
Back to the.
Well, I just like to know where you got that information from.
Is it your news conference? Don't I ask the question?
But you asked a question that I don't think is accurate. I just want people to understand who are watching this.
Do you pay him, Brad?
No, not to my knowledge. No. Well, bonds in itself, if you're closing out bonds, you have to hire parties that actually are responsible for paying and, determining how much each bond is worth on a particular day. Having those agents hired to pay off the bonds, you have to have investment counsel, you have to have underwriter, you have to have bond counsel. You're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on that transaction alone. And that money is rolled into the new bonds. That's the funny thing about it. Is that people think, oh, you could just pay it off and you come up with $43 million and it disappears. There's a cost.
Hundreds of millions of dollars in added expense.
I didn't say hundreds of millions.
But that's what I'm asking you.
We're in the process of still trying to formalize that. But we do know there would be a significant cost with the prepayment penalty associated with the debt that currently exists.
I think a lot of people are.
Well, the authority's budget office thinks 3 is too small. Without a doubt. They said there's no board that should be 3, and there's only 2 water authorities that are. How do you make it smaller? You just hire, you got to have somebody responsible, so you have to have a board. I've practiced corporate law for quite a number of years, and except for a family-owned business where it was mom, dad, and the kid, there's no boards that are 3-person boards. They're all 7, 9, 11, or greater. Because when you got more eyes in regards to an organization, you have more people who can object. You have more people who say this is wrong. So I don't know how you downsize and get a better organization. If anything, you get a worse. And the ABO itself supports my efforts to increase the board to 7 members, and they agree that 3 is too small. I understand that, but we've never had a press conference like this about SUNY Erie, ECMC, the library, or the Fire Advisory Board. Do you guys even know the Fire Advisory Board exists? Or that Department of Health Board, which actually has the power to set the health code for the sanitary code for Erie County, is not set by myself. It's not set by the legislature. It's actually set by the Department of Health board. Those are all appointees. There's more appointees. It's not three-member boards, but they're appointees of the county executive approved by the legislature or legislative appointees. And we're not having conversations about how political they are and how decisions are being made on a political basis, because you have larger boards with longer terms, with more eyes on the board to determine that things are being done properly.
I know you're eager to get these changes going forward, but just to follow up on his question, I noticed that we did that today, three by the county legislature, two by the governor, and two by yourself. Why, they'd all be Democrats, wouldn't they?
Theoretically. But the change. Last time I checked, I'm the first county executive, or there's only been two Democratic county executives in the history of Erie County. There's eight county executives.
How does it change the partisanship and politics?
Because the election, changed, David. That's what happens.
So that would be going forward.
Going forward. They're locked in.
Okay.
So
initially they'd all be Democrats.
I mean, I came in as county executive and I had appointees that were technically county executive appointees for 6 years that I could not change at ECMC, that I could not change at SUNY Erie, because they were appointed by County Executive Collins. They're county executive appointees, but they're not appointed by me. I came in, I've made some changes to some of the boards, I've reappointed other ones. Sharon Hansen, the former chair of the ECMC board, was appointed, I think, first by Joel Giambra, then Chris Collins, and then reappointed by me because Sharon's done a good job at ECMC. And I think that's what we're talking about. By expanding the terms and the number of folks, you get more eyes on it, and there's going to be Republican county executives. There's going to be Republican governors. I don't know about this year, though. I don't plan on being county executive for the next two decades. Let's put it that way.
But initially,
and that's not true, because I recommend that they keep the existing board members, which the next appointee has to be a Republican.
So we'd have one Republican and six Democrats?
Well, it depends on who they appoint. It's not saying my appointees would be Democrats. I've appointed people who are not Democrats. It might be hard to believe.
It's not on the number. I think there's people out there that say the problem is more with the makeup. You know, it's, let's stop putting political hacks on the board and let's start putting, you know, professionals in water management or people who are not, either of the political parties. Couldn't you amend the law to say, you know, the commissioners can't be connected to the political parties?
I guess you could amend the law to do anything. The problem is, who do you get to serve? If you say you can't be a Democrat or Republican, then who's going to serve on the board? Or you say you have to be an unaffiliated, a blank? I mean, by law, this is a constitutional right. People have a right to make political donations. Supreme Court has decided that multiple times over. You cannot hold somebody responsible for making a political donation. So if you created a law that says you can't make political donations, immediately it would be stricken as unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. I do know that as a fact. So the question is, how do you do it? What you should have is a professional staff. You should, and like, for example, I'm county executive. I have the power to appoint the deputy commissioner for the sewer management division. And Joe Fiegel is the deputy commissioner for the sewage management division. Joel was the deputy under Chris Collins. I think he may have been appointed by, no, he wasn't appointed by Joel. I think he was appointed by Chris Collins. Joe is a professional engineer in the field of sewerage management. I would not put somebody in the deputy commissioner of sewerage management who doesn't know how to handle sewers. It's as simple as that. I mean, I got a lot of problems to deal with in Erie County. That's one problem in backups I do not want to deal with. Let's put it that way, folks. So you hire professional people for the professional jobs. The commissioners and the members is like with any authority in New York State. I think your only requirement is to live in the county and be of 18 years of age. After that, it's you can't limit people and say you're not allowed to be a board member because you happen to be from a particular political party. You wouldn't get anybody to serve. If you said, we want only professionals, water engineers to serve as board members, I guarantee you, most of them would be like, how much money am I getting paid? Some might apply, I'm not gonna deny that, but I think there'd be a limitation on what you could do. Because I will say this, as county executive, I've seen a lot of people who've moved up the ranks who were great in their position. But when you give them a managerial position, when they have to deal with issues associated with negotiating health care, when you have issues associated with labor relations especially, they're not the best managers. And that's what the board really should be, are managers of the operations to ensure that water is provided safely and efficient and effective manner. And it's up to the professionals that do it on a daily basis to ensure that everything is being done properly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.